Bless the holy name this morning, O Lord. Praise you. For thou art worthy of praise. Bless now thy people, Lord. As we sit under thy feet, Lord, and to learn. We pray, Father, Lord, you touch our heart, open it. We have ears to hear, perceive it, O Father, to understand, to see the truth of thy word. Not just black words on white paper, but the very life itself that spring forth from that which have been foreordained and written before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, for today, asking now that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Our subject today is one simple word. Sometimes I was wondering, should I just entitle it as H-I-M, him? Or should I entitle it as meditation? Meditation. What is meditation? When you talk about meditation in Asia, people say, meditation, do you meditate? Or you mean to say to sit down on the floor, cross your feet, and then put your finger like this, or you put your whatever like this, you know, whatever posture. No. In Bible meditation, when we talk about meditation, we talk about thinking deeply. We spend our time thinking deeply. We focus on some important things, contemplating on it. So for us Christians, what do we contemplate or what do we meditate upon? Yeah, but when we are depressed sometimes, you know, maybe we lost a job and we sit down and we just, you know, and get engrossed in a job that we have lost and we are thinking what's going to happen to us and our mind just dwells on it. But when, as a Christian, whether good or bad comes our way, whether we are in high mountain or we're low in the valley, we can sit down and contemplate what's the will of God in this thing that happened to me. You know. Whenever I think about the thing that happened to the African people, and I always remember when I was young, I read the history and how that the black people were so badly treated by the white people from America, from Europe, and they, you know, went over to their continent and take them and make them slaves. And that's why the Negro in America, they suffered a lot until George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, passed a decree to set them free. In those days, they were there, they were badly treated. And they've only seen a lot of Negro spiritual song, and one of them I always remember is that one statement, Lord, Lord, how come me here? Why am I in this situation? I don't know what situation you're going through in life. The rain fall upon the just and unjust, good rain, bad rain, acid rain. We all get it. So in life things happen. Sure it isn't. Even for me, for having this cataract up, you know, when I get cataract the first time, when I say, oh my goodness, I'm going to get cataract. I mean, I don't know that we all grow old, many of us will get cataract. In America, 50% of people have got cataract. And you just think about it. And 20 million people have already have cataract operation. And Singapore is on the increase. And if you want, notice one thing, if you go under a bus, or go into a train, you will see that, look around at the passenger, at least 50% of them wear glasses. We all live in lifestyle, and we get all these things. So, don't be surprised when things come your way like that, and oh, what do I get cataract? You get cataract because you get cataract. You got sick because you got sick. Our lifestyles and things like that. But here when we talk meditation, good and bad, we want to meditate upon the purpose of God in the thing that happened to us. All right? And most of all, other thing that we meditate on. You remember, look, let's go to the book of Galatians. I want somebody to read it. Let's go to the book of Galatians. We have many verses to read so that you have a reference. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll read this one verse first. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So you cannot do the thing that you would. So this is talking to Christian people. Right? This is talking to Galatian Christians. Because they were sort of freak-a-mire, because you get some of these other religious people that came along and tried to teach them and said all sorts of things, and you need to be circumcised and blah, 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 need to keep the law. And so they were tossed to and here, you know, the black dog and the white dog is fighting, you know, the black dog and the white dog stuff, right? Now you don't have the white dog issue in your life if you're not a Christian. You just have the black dog. You just feed on it whatever you want. Good or bad, you just feed on. But because you're a Christian, now there is something, there's another spirit fighting against that other spirit. There is war. The thing that you should do, you find that the black dog don't want you to do it. The thing that you should not do, you're doing it. You know. So it's what you feed on. So if, and because of this, sometimes we just don't bother to meditate. We just live it. We take the easy road. And I know that in life, practically every one of us have a fear. Because it's human instinct. When you come to a certain situation, the adrenaline kicks in. Fight or flight. Either you stay and fight or you run. The two have one. Fight or flight. And most of the time when we think about it, you know, here we are. You see the condition of the world. You look at Yemen. Yemen. You know Yemen, right? You know where Yemen is? Southern part of Saudi Arabia Peninsula. I was there one time because the plane, we are driving back home. The crazy pilot just flew off from Addis Ababa. Even if the wing was leaking, it was leaking fluid, the fuel, you know, from the wing. On my left side, where I was sitting on the left, I couldn't see because I was just above the wing, it was leaking. And it just flew. But they have no stop, but so we landed up in Aden, which is in Yemen, right there, airport. And the airport was empty. We were ferried to the terminal. There was no passenger, nothing. Only just one of the store, man by man, everywhere was bullet-ridden wall, you know. There was a place where everything fighting was going on. Yemen has been suffering because of Saudi Arabia issue, because of Iran issue, because of Middle Eastern problem. So the people suffered. I don't know how many thousands of people have died. Innocent kids. If you were to watch the video, it's heartrending. But if it happened here in Singapore, what would happen to you? What would be your reaction? So it's an issue of the survival. So the instinct kicks in. So as Christians, we all have this feeling of uncertainty is coming. But you know, for what? My focus right now about this subject is that meditate upon the Word of God. And you would not be so jittery. What's going to happen to me? You know? Why did this thing happen? 2 years ago, when my cataract fell, just a little pin drop in front of my eye. And I knew it was cataract. I had it checked, and yeah, it was cataract. And I just didn't too much of it. I just took my supplement, everything, but I never thought about eye supplement, strong eye supplement for it. So a year later on, the cataract has spread, right, quite good in the center, and you're really quite disturbing. Though you can see, like, quite disturbing. It's only 1 year later that I started to take supplement, and it stopped spreading. But the center part is there already that bothers me. And it gives me a headache, eye ache, when you concentrate. I was depending on the Lord, you know, thinking on the Lord, Lord, if you would remove it. Supernaturally, somehow, if you would do it for me. I went for a year for it. I said, Lord, if you don't do anything, then whatever you want me to go to, you will be done. So I waited for more than a year. And finally, I said, Lord, if there is an advertisement for cataract seminar again, and by which time if this does not somehow improve, then it will be done. I go for it up. You believe in supernatural? I do believe in supernatural healing. But I said, Lord, it will be done. So I just have to go for the surgery. It's just a problem of things that develop. You do not know how your body will react. But my life is in God's hand. I meditate upon the word of the Lord. What do you want me to do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are beautiful, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things.
Right. These are the basic, these are the things that we should meditate on. Think on these things. Meditate deeply on it. Think deeply. Focus on these things. Contemplate on these issues. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise to the glory of God, think on these things. In life, remember this black dot issue here. You've got a problem with your neighbor. You've got a problem with a colleague. You've got a problem with your friend or brother or sister in the church. You got upset. You go home. What do you complain? What do you contemplate? Do you let the black dot eat you up? This neighbor is so hopeless. Terrible. This colleague of mine did this thing to me. This friend of mine did this. This brother, this sister did this. Your mind is on this. If you don't own it, it may just be for a while. Good enough. Let it go. Let the white dog come and eat the black dog up. Otherwise, it will eat into your life. Yeah. You know, I have so many people done so many things to me in this ministry. In this church, out there, and out there in the world, as well as in Singapore. The lie they spoke, the thing that they said, might frustrate me. But over the years, you can't do a thing. I have to let it go. You meet the brother, just say hello. You know. There's nothing you can do. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 5 to 10. Brother Henry.
2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail.
Why? That's Peter. You know the Apostle Peter. He was bold. He was cocksure. But you know, he learned. After Pentecost, Peter was no longer the Peter that he was before when he was a disciple of Jesus. Because when he was walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was still in the natural feeling. He was all about what he think, was so sure about what he was doing, what he was saying. You know. But after Pentecost, he was a different person altogether. That he could write this. Besides all this, giving all diligence, after your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, body kindness, and body kindness, agape. And if all these things be in you, that's one thing, all these things be in you. How many of us looking at these virtues that is listed here, can we say that we have all of this? See, well, I have faith. I have knowledge of God and temperaments I have. Patience? Maybe not. Godliness? Maybe not all have it. Living that life? Body kindness? Body kindness doesn't just talk about brother and sister in Christ. Or to your natural brother or sister. Brother kindness also exists out there to those who are not even Christian people. And brother kindness, agape. And agape is the cutting stone. That's what we all have to build upward. And it's a journey, it's not easy. But how do we get all these things in us? Well, let's just continue. And it says, he that lack this thing is blind. Oh, that's kind of strong, huh? And cannot see afar off. And have forgotten that he was purged from his sin. That wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence, make your calling and election sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never fall. Do you make your election and calling sure? Do you know who you are? That's why you see out there in the Christian world today. You know, just last Sunday, when I came out from the restroom, there was this man, I think he would be about late 30s or early 40s, wearing a cargo pant, a cargo short pant with a t-shirt, and wearing a slipper. So when I came out, because I was dragging my bottom, so I came out and walked in here. So he was following me. And there was somebody out there were walking with me. And I walked and I saw that he was following me. I realized that he was going to church. But not here. He was going to the other side. So when I said, you're going to church? He said, yeah. He said, you're going to Eastern Church? Yes. He said, that's over the other side. Now, that's Christianity. That's Christian. People who call themselves Christian goes to church, go to fellowship, dressing like that. Now, when I say this, I hear many people out there, Christian, will say, how can you be criticizing other Christians? They will say, like I have been told over here in this fellowship years ago. But again, you think God cares how you dress? Oh yes, God cares how you dress. You come in the morning, you don't want to wash your face, you don't want to comb your hair, you don't want to dress yourself properly, you want to come and meet God in the house of God? Shame on you. You want to come as a person when you go out there to meet anyone? Don't dress like that. Unless a social gathering thing. Sure. Your image as a Christian, spiritually and on the outside. If what is right on the inside, then on the outside would be right. Do you know that? Labran Jama, Kalamoja, live in a place called Kalamoja, in Uganda, these people are wild men in the jungle. They are half naked. Brother Jomar said when he preached the gospel to them, when they saw that they are saying that they received the Savior, immediately Brother Jomar told me, he said, you know what, Brother Gabe, immediately they realized that they must dress properly. The light brings truth to them, and when light is revealed to them and they receive it, darkness must go. Just like Adam here, when they commit the sin, when God's veil is lifted, they saw that the darkness in them, they saw that they have sinned. And they start to dress themselves up. Try to cover themselves up. But not realizing the spiritual death has already taken place. We are all born sinner. When light comes in, we are all born sinner with darkness, that's how we behave and dress the way we behave and dress. And when light comes in, we realize that we are naked. You look at it. And many, all these beaches out there in many countries, even some places in Europe, they have called nudist camp. The beach of people can just appear nude or topless. People wearing bikini and all that, they don't think they're naked. They cover their breasts and the bottom, and that's not naked. As long as they cover those two private parts, they are not naked. Adam here covered himself thick leaf. If that would do, God would leave it alone. God would not have to slay an animal and clothe them properly. So, what is a Christian? You always think about what the Bible says. If you know your election, you know your calling, make it sure, make it tight, and seal it, and live the life that we should live. That's what it calls for. Now, why in Singapore? I mean, America is a free-for-all thing, I know. But let me talk about Singapore school. Every public school, even private school in Singapore, there's a dress code. Is that right? Whether it's Raffles Institution, Joseph Institution, whether it's Monk Secondary School, whether it's Raffles Girls' School or Anderson School, whatever, high school, junior college, or primary school, they all have uniform to identify what you are. That's why one time when I was out on the waiting for the bus, and this was, I don't know what secondary school boy, there were three or four of them drinking soft drinks and canned, and then when the bus came, they put it just on that bench in the bus stop. They just leave it there. And I said, hey, take this and throw it there into the dustbin. And look at me and they take it. Because I was looking at them, I said, you want me to go and call the school and tell you this how you are taught? Just imagine. You represent your school and you behave like that. And if a school came to know about it, what happened then? It's a shame for that school. And that's why a school like our first institution, Joseph, Anglo-Chinese school, they all live up to the standard. They have the badge, they're proud of it. It ought to be. If you're a Christian, wear a Christian badge and be proud of it. Out there in Africa, you're this Branhamite, they wear a picture of Brother Branham and they're proud of being a Branhamite. You know. So, what do you identify with? Let's go next. We're going to learn 1 Corinthians 10:11 and 12. First Corinthians 10, 11 and 12.
Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Right. We learn from the example of those in the Old Testament, as Paul here writing, of course. And all those that went before us, they are example for us. And that's why I said many times, here, we are here. If you were to be living in those days, and your name is mentioned in the Bible, and God is not just writing a Bible with all the good things, you know, oh, the good thing about David, good thing about Solomon, good thing about... There's nothing bad to learn. God is showing us the good and the bad side of David. Moses, Solomon, Peter, Paul, Thomas, all those men of God. Because the Bible says we are all men of like passion. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets next to Moses. The Bible says he was a man of like passion. And Jesus, he came to fill our passion. And of course, he sinned not. But all of us are born into this world, we came in sin. And then we have our failure. And we have our success. But God wants us to learn and understand. Certainly, it's an example for us to learn. Alright, let's look at a case like David. How do you meditate? What is meditation all about? What is so important about meditation? And David was a good example. Let us go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5. And we'll see from here, 2 Samuel chapter 5, 17 to 25. Verse 17 to 25, yes. 2 Samuel. Now, let us read what happened here. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed, or that Israel had anointed, David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and he went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Raphaim. And David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Would thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine into thy hand. David went to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord have broken forth upon my enemies before me, as the bridge of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, their idols, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistine came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Raphaim. And when David inquired the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a moving in the tops of the mulberry trees, and then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistine. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistine from Gibeah until thou comest to Gaza. Think about it for a moment. When David was anointed king, Philistines said, okay. You know why the Philistines want to come against him? When he was anointed king. Because he was the one who killed Goliath. Right? So okay, now we're going to fight him. So they gather there and fight. And David looked at, wow. And it came where he was looking out there with all this Philistine army out there. So what do you do? He just called the army, come on, let's go fight them. Did he do that? No. He went and seek the mind of God. He went and seek the will of God. Says, Lord, want me to go and find them, and will you deliver them into my hand? He prayed and inquired from the Lord. The Bible does not tell you how long he inquired, huh? You just read the one verse, you think, oh, just simply, Lord, do I go now? Oh, the Lord said, yeah, nah, just go. People think it's just like that. You don't know how long David was alone with God inquiring from the Lord. You know what I mean? Sometimes people think it's so easy. Lord, you know, I fall in love with that girl. You want me to marry her? You want me to call her? Okay. Remember, you go. Huh? He looked for some kind of sign, maybe he said, Lord, if he looked, she turned and looked at me one more time, she must be for me. You know, you pray all kinds of weird things and then you just go ahead and do that. You see? But David, no. Okay, David went and he warned about it. Again, the Philistine came. What happened then? Oh, David, so you come again. You know, I warned the first time. No problem, I can win the second time. Let's go. Just because you won the first time, you just go headlong to fight the second time and you think that you will win? Or do you ever think to inquire the will of God? Because the second time might not be yours again. Huh? But you said, David does not go headlong. He inquired, and the Lord said, no, don't go straight, but I want you to circle from behind them and wait for the rustling in the mulberry tree. Wait for my signal. Because you know what? God fight for Israel. God fight for His people. Huh? You see, David was the kind of man, he always thinking about God. Why did he do that? Alright. You know something? C.H. Spurgeon. You know C.H. Spurgeon? How many of you know C.H. Spurgeon? One of the England great preacher. Huh? 100 more years ago. What's a great preacher? This is what he said. Let me quote it to you. No man has any right to address a congregation on things spiritual unless he believes that God was given him a spiritual calling to the work. Unless he has also in due time received certain seals which attest his ministry has been a ministry of God. Now the reason why I want to quote this from C.S. Spurgeon, because C.S. Spurgeon is a man of meditation. He meditated a lot. He has this great insight. He was raised up and he was very aware. He studied the word, he spent time. You know what he was saying? He said that there are so many preachers. They all wanted to be preachers. But there's nothing, no calling in them, no seal, no sign to prove, no vindication that they really have a ministry. Let me read the next one. There may be some here, he was preaching to a congregation, who will say, how am I to know whether I'm called to preach? My brethren, you will find it out by and by. I dare say. And if you are sincerely serious, if you are sincerely desirous to know when you are in the path of duty in endeavoring to preach, I must bid you, do as David did. He noted the rustling in the leaves of the mulberries, and I must have you notice certain signs. Do you want to know whether you can preach? Ask yourself this question. Can I pray? When I have been called upon in the prayer meeting, have I been enabled to put words together and let God help me in the matter? It will be a fearful thing for me to have occupied the watchman's place without having received the watchman's commission. Am I called to preach? You ask the question. First of all, ask yourself a question. Can you pray? No, a lot of preachers out there, they don't go on your knees and they don't go and pray. That's all my testimony. When I became a Christian, and before I was 12 years old, I fell in love with the Lord. For 2 years after that, I vexed him because I was, challenged by the teacher about that we can't sing. And 2 years I vexed it, but I never denied Christ. When the Lord then bring a sinner, just think about God's work. He used a sinner to take me to church. I was drifting for 2 years. Though not far from Calvary. And what I did was a sinner neighbor who came to me and said, "Hey, I know you're a Christian. You know, I always want to know what a church is like. I've never been to a church." And right then I said, "Do you want to go to church?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, let's go to church then. Let's go to church this Sunday." And there was a church that I know. That's the Assemblies of God. So we went on that Sunday, and God had a message prepared for me. What was the message? To this day, I never forget. That message was just for me. We came there because of, I forgot about the time. I tell you, we were there almost half hour late. They were singing almost the last two songs. I was sitting right behind. I took row from the back of the door, and the pulpit, that just happened to be the shape of a T, the side wing on right and left on the pulpit here. We were sitting on the back. And the preacher was preaching, was American Chinese. I said Chinese, American Chinese. he was preaching, and the message was, "Prodigal son, come home." And every time he pointed at it, right there, I was in a trance. You believe me? The power just forgot to pull me. Tear was coming from my eye. And every time he pointed his hand, this way, that way, "Prodigal, come home." I just see a big hand pointing at me, "Come home." And the altar call, I went up. I cried my heart out for 2 hours. And everybody's gone home. I was there. And the pastor was sitting waiting for me to cry my heart out. From that day, I searched for the will of God. Constantly on my knees. With the Bible. Fasting. Praying. And I know God told me this is the work you could do to grow up. And I was cost fighting for it. How could I be a preacher? My father is not working. There's no income. My mother is doing a domestic servant work, putting food on the table. I have to go to work. I was thinking I need to go to Bible school and all that stuff because I was in the denomination. And only later when the message came, everything makes sense then. All those years I was spending a lot of times out in the car park. Evening time came, I went to the car park and prayed. Go out there to the garden, botanic garden, roadside hospital, giving the gospel tract, preaching to people on the street, talking to patients in the hospital. You see, the calling of God, there must some vindication. I just leave it until God prove it and show it to me. And opening my mind to the Word of God. And yet, the alos up there will not call, start hitting at me. That you cannot make yourself what you are not. That's the truth. So there's something about Spurgeon. You know what Spurgeon said in one of his sermons? He was saying that there are some that call me. Say, "Brother Spurgeon, I'm here. I want to preach in your church. God told me to come and preach in your church." You know what Spurgeon said? "Until I hear from God, I will not let you come and preach in my church." And the same thing I have entire message preacher text me, got my name somehow. Or Brother Gunn, I come to Singapore. I would like to come preach in your church. This pulpit will not be stand by anybody that I do not know. People whom I know to be a friend of mine, people who I know who do not use the Bible as a basic source of absolute. This is your absolute. Yours and mine. Not the words of Brother Branham, not the word of John Wesley or Luther. Not even the word of Paul or Peter. If you do not know, if you do not understand what is inspired written word. You can quote Paul, do you know that? And you can come up with any doctrines you want. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can take one verse of scripture and you can make any doctrine out of it. That's why we have this British Israelism. Huh? Who just simply quote what Jesus said. I'm come to seek the lost of the house of Israel. See, the word Judah is not mentioned. So the Jews are not. Neither the Gentiles and the salvation of God. So we need to understand that this Bible here is in breath of God. In breath, every word is fixed exactly by God, chosen by God, rightly placed in the original. And how are you going to understand? You can never understand the Bible if God does not open up your mind. If God does not open up the word and reveal it to you, you will not know. And there are a lot of people say, you know, I don't need to go to church. I stay home and listen to the tape of Brother Branham. I have the revelation. Well, we'll see about that. Don't mock God. Huh? People think they don't know what they do not know. Alright, Psalms 8. And it's so true, Charles Spurgeon said, it would have been a fearful thing for me to have occupied the watchman's place without having received the watchman's commission. Here's a great preacher. Psalms 8. Here is Psalms 8. Is David's deep thought about God, about with mankind and the rest of the creation, the all. And you know, Psalms 8. Okay, just 9 verse. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now this is a Psalm of David. Who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and suckling thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and that the son of man that you visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. What make him? Thou make him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever pass through the path of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You look at the revelation of David. He has seen the future. He has so much understanding and knowledge of God. What is man? Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you even visit him. Who are we, Lord? That even you come and visit us. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to visit us. But who are we? And we are making it lower than the angels. But we will be crowned with glory. Because we are higher than the angels. Right. We now make little Lord. Huh? The angels are spirit beings. We are physical, natural. But all this body will become a glorified one. Asked. Let's see what God said about King David. What kind of person was King David? He was a man who was very, very meditative. But for a young child, when he grew up, the care of his father Jesse's sheep and goats and whatever that he, Jesse might have, the father. And he brought him out, well, his older brother, you know, join the army. I mean, some people, you know, like to say, oh man, I'm going to fight for my country. I want to join the IDF. You know what IDF is? You know what IDF is? Yeah, they joined the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. There was, great to have, dressed. You see, we are Israel's Defense Force. But he was only a little boy. Oh, he can't join. Okay, they get a scholarship. But you know one thing? He was raised up in such that when you spend time, that's one thing about it. If you can spend time alone away from all your computer, from your iPad, from your mobile phone, from your WhatsApp, from your Facebook, from your Twitter, and your Google, and whatever, get away from those things, go out there somewhere in the nature. And that's what I used to do when I was young. I would take my little sketchbook, go out to Botanic Garden and walk around, sit there, relax, and just draw something and look at the nature, pray and meditate. David did that as a little boy, feeding the sheep, bring the sheep up there, bring the God there, find a place for them to graze. While they are grazing, he meditated. Took his harp, started to play. Perhaps he self-taught to play. And he started to compose a whole lot of songs. And the more that he meditated, the more that he grew wisdom. When he grew up, he got very close to God. Because he had a lot of time spending meditating about the things of God, the heavens, the greatness of God, about himself, about mankind. Oh my. There are a lot of people that wake up from morning till night and they never have a thought of God. Huh? They get a morning, oh Lord, it's Monday morning. And you go to work and you think about is work. Look at the time. Oh, lunchtime come your mom, we're gonna eat. And you think about food. And then come back, work again. And you don't have the time. 5-6 o'clock, oh my, rush hour to go home. Boy, oh boy. And you just go through all this process. Go home, sit down in the mirror and put your leg up, watch television. Go home and sleep. And go back to sleep. Or maybe you play some computer game, do some whatever. Go to bed with a day. Say, oh God, tomorrow is going to be another day. It's all that's on your mind. Huh? If you are thinking about all this, man, you should take time and go off. To be in the wilderness, someplace, just, you know, to be alone with God. No. Vacation time. I need to go take a holiday. So you take a flight, go to China, go to Europe, and just enjoy yourself there, you know, have a good time, go sightseeing, and then eating good food, and go home, come back. You now solve your meditation. You want to get close to the Lord, you need to have time. Spend time with the Lord. This is what King David was, dude, from small to adulthood. Alright, so Acts 13:22. Acts 13:22. Yes, Luke.
And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
A man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Why? Because God was able to say that a man after my own heart who will fulfill all my will, because God knew the kind of person David was. He was so mindful of God, and God was so mindful of him. And that's just one thing about David. A man after my own heart. That was said of King David. Nobody else, not Moses, not Elijah. Not one of them, but did it. Huh? Well, what did he do? He prayed, he studied, he meditated on the will of God, his plan, his purpose. And of course, keeping his commandment. What about Solomon, his son? Solomon says, I want to have wisdom. Yeah, God granted him wisdom. Folks, God wants to show us that even though you ask for wisdom, you may be wise, but Solomon's heart was not in keeping God's commandment. The wisest man in the world, to this day everybody says, as wise as Solomon, right? Nobody says as wise as Peter or Paul or David. No, wise as Solomon. Somebody may not agree, saying that as wise as an old owl. And what they say, owl is wise. I don't know why the owl is wise. But see, King Solomon was supposed to be the wisest, but what was his fault? The problem with him was that he did not keep God's commandment. How many wives did he have? How many concubines did he have? 700 wives? Wow. And many of these are foreign wives. And you have 300 concubines. You know the difference between wives and concubines, huh? He might marry a foreign wife who is a princess, and the princess may have some handmaids. And since he married a princess, the princess said, you can take my handmaid as a concubine. So 700 wives, 300 concubines. God don't mind him having as many wives as he want to, but if he will only take it from among the people of Israel. But Solomon wanted to enlarge his kingdom. But enlarging your kingdom, what do you do with the commandment of God? What did he do with the commandment of God? Some people were in business, wanted to enlarge their business. You want to enlarge your business? You be wise. And seek the mind of God about these things. Solomon did not seek the mind of God. He took foreign wives. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 13. He did not meditate on the consequences of taking foreign wives. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 13.
1 Kings 11:1-13. While King Solomon loved many strange women, together the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto this in love. And he had 700 wives, princess, and 300 concubines, and his wife turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wife turned unto away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord of God of Israel, which has appeared unto him twice. And I commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. but he kept not which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe of thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen.
Amen. See that? Why Solomon? You know, his mind was enlarging his kingdom. To enlarge your kingdom, you have to have a relationship with other nations. So, well, you know, you have to do some kind of trade arrangement. Like today, we have Donald Trump having problem with China, bad relationship now, this tariff, all this problem with trade. That's all. So Solomon said, okay, we do trade now with neighbor, that's been nice, so that we have peace and all that. Everything goes fine. So the king was pleased, the other nation was pleased. Okay, let me give you my daughter to a wife. You know? Perhaps Solomon, when he met maybe his first few foreign wives, he said, no, I don't need them. No. Then you know how the pagan nation would say, no, for good relationship, please have my daughter. Well, she took it. One after another. Until he come to a stage. Even God spoke to him twice and repeated, and he should not have doing it because they're going to take you away from your faith and bring you to sacrifice to their gods. You know, that's the kind of person that Solomon was, not like his son, not like his father, David, who meditated upon the word of God, knowing the black dog and the white dog issue and the consequences there were. Be, if you choose to follow the black dog, if you choose to feed it. So in the end, King Solomon build altars and do sacrifice to at least three gods that are not gods, but statue make of stones, Ashtaroth, Chemosh, Moloch. Many of these gods that pagan people worship, demand human sacrifice. I was watching a movie the other day, a movie made by Mel Gibson. You know, Mel Gibson made the movie called The Passion. And he made this movie called Apocalypto. It's about the history of the Mayan. And I was beginning to wonder if this mind were actually part of also the descendant or the Canaanite spirit. Because they do human sacrifice. But no, they of course don't do it anymore. You know. The Mayans out there in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Mexico. Oh my. The gods demand this. Some people do not understand. Why then did God ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? If God is against human sacrifice. How many people know the answer to this? The reason why God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac was because Abraham was caught out of the wood of Kaidi, where they worship all these gods. Abraham did not know about the real true God because he had never appeared to him. But he knew that there was this God. But his king's folk, they were worshiping all these strange gods. They demand sacrifice, human sacrifice. So when a God called Abraham to come out of wood of Kadi and brought him down to Canaan land, God was dealing with him. God is revealing himself to Abraham. Abraham takes time to comprehend all this issue. So God said, now I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. Because you know, in those days there was the ritual that people were doing. was so common, was a natural thing. God was testing him whether he would sacrifice Isaac. Because the pagan people, they are willing to sacrifice their own children. Yeah. And that's supposed to be a true test of their faith. To a God that is not God. So when Abraham was about to strike Isaac, you know, all the time Abraham, as I said, is a deep man. I meditate upon about the life of Abraham, the revelation that Abraham had. When Abraham took the wood, packed the wood, packed, and got his servant and Isaac to go to Mount Moriah. They were on the trip on the donkey to Mount Moriah. They came to that mountain and he told his servant to stay there. He and Isaac will go up. He put the wood on Isaac's back and Isaac carried that wood. What does it represent? It represents Jesus Christ carrying the cross. And we're up there, build the altar, put the firewood. Isaac said, Dad, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. So while everything was ready, and he told his son Isaac, you are the sacrifice. I tell you this, Isaac was not a little boy. He was in his 20s. He could fight his father. But what was the revelation Isaac possessed? What was it that he possessed? The revelation, what did he see? There must be a good relationship between Abraham and his son Isaac, that they can understand each other. Abraham told him about Yahweh. For instance, Isaac was his precious son, the only son. Like God and Jesus Christ, Christ was God's only begotten son. And Abraham told him, you are the sacrifice. Isaac never struggled. And Abraham must have told him, or by revelation or whatever relationship, but I know one thing, Abraham knew this. God promised me a son. This is the one. That through him I will be a father of many nations. And if he should die as a sacrifice, he will rise again. Nothing on earth will tie him down. He will rise again. But I said, put him on the pole. He was about to strike. Hold it, Abraham, God said. I know. You obey my voice. I know you love me. You love my commandment. You love everything that I say. You believe everything that I say. And you will do it. And God stays and there was the lamb top on the tickle in the bush. A ram. Use that for his sacrifice. Because Abraham knew that if he sacrificed Isaac, he would rise again. Because that the promise is this son. And God sent his only begotten son. And Jesus Christ said, my father sent me, and I will lay down my rights because I will rise again. No power on earth can tie me down. I will rise again. One of these, dear brother and sister, we're going to rise again. We're going to live. We're going to rise up. No power on earth will tie us down. You see, the relationship of father and son between Abraham and Isaac was a typical revelation of the Father Jesus Christ. After you meditate on the Word, I study and I meditate upon the thing that God revealed, the touch and the shadows. How beautiful is this word? Psalms 139, 17 and 18. Psalms 139, 17 and 18. But the Psalm of King David. What kind of person was King David? Psalms 1, 3, 9, 17 and 18.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Oh, King David, my own mind. From a young child all the way up, he had been meditating about the Lord that he could write this sort of thing. Huh? How precious are thy thoughts unto me. God, you thought so much of me. How great is the sum of them? Can you think about the sum of God's thought for you? David said, your thoughts about for me. How can I count it? How can I comprehend all your thoughts about me? Oh my. Think about that. If I should count that, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Huh. Yeah? Have you ever count the benefit that God has given you? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings that the Lord has done. Can you really count all of it? No, maybe we don't count so much blessing, we count the little problem that we have more than the blessing. Okay. Let's look at another person beside King David who also are very full of meditation. He wrote 176 lines. Alright. And that psalm is Psalms 911. Unless you are dyslexic. Psalms 119. He wrote 176 lines of a psalm after a much meditation, and he used every alphabet of the Hebrew. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All the way from Aleph to Tau. So let's go to Psalms 119, 97, 98, and 99 only. Alright? Psalms 119, and this is not King David, this is another person who is a full of meditation of God as well. Psalms 119, verse 97, 98, 99. Brother Kagan.
I love it is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation.
Amen. Do you know that every alphabet is there, and every alphabet contains 8 lines? Wow, what a kind of psalm is that you could sit down and think about all the letters of the alphabets, 32 of them, and then he composed a little song, a meditation. Huh? 176 lines altogether. I mean, man. Mem is the, alphabet is that now? I can't remember. 13. I think it's the 13th alphabet, if I'm not mistaken. You know, just think what he wrote here. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The law, the oracles of the prophets. And here with the whole Bible. Let us meditate upon those things. Thou through thy commandment have made me wiser than my enemies. The word of God makes us wise, I can tell you that. That is very true. Christianity is a religion that have surprised many people. If you study history, people are surprised at how could Christianity be not an organization, how it started in the day of Pentecost. And boom, it just spread. People fellowship in care, people fellowship in the house, how it started. It was there's no organization to drive it. The driving force was the Spirit of God. That's one of them. And then in the last night, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimony are my, for thy testimony are my meditation. This is the verse that I had back in 1966 or 65. During my fasting, the Lord gave this verse to me. You know, meditation about His Word. And I just wrote it down. I didn't even think of it. Wrote it on my Bible, my friend leaf. And then the Lord started opening my mind, my understanding to revelation of these mysteries of the Word of God. And that's so true. God, you if you don't go on your knees, you can never be a preacher. You can never preach because you don't seek the mind of God. At least one brother in Singapore, a believer in Singapore, honestly he told me back then, he said, you know, Brother Glenn, at that time, of course, they have problems with church, and each person take turns to preach, you know. He said, you know, Brother Glenn, when the week is coming for me to preach the coming Sunday, I get very, you know, uncomfortable. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I say, crypto, Friday, Saturday, and I don't know what to preach. Sure, of course you don't know what to preach because you don't go on knees. All you have is a quote of Brother Bram. That's just what I've been doing. That's what they have been doing all this time. Huh? And just of what I know in many places I've been, Brother Bram preaches, preach something. And later on, the people want to ask questions. He says, write your question down, give it to me. I go back to the hotel, then tomorrow, then I give you the answer. Oh, go back to the hotel, what does he do? Open his computer. Go to the search code of Brother Branham. People ask a question. You don't have the answer from the scripture. You go and search for the problem. Then you come to the pulpit. For this question, this is what Brother Branham said. That's not the answer. Even if you take the Bible and give it to them, you cannot just give a verse. That's the answer. You have to expound it. You have to tell what it is. Now in the days when the second temple was built, after it was built, they found the book, the oracle. Ezra brought it and stood above the people, and the people all stand up. And he opened the book and he read it and he expounded it. He didn't just read the book. Huh? Do you understand? You need to expound and make it what it says. Jesus came and he came, he just didn't simply quote the prophet of the Old Testament. Huh? He revealed what the Old Testament prophet said. Do you understand what it is? That's what makes sense of the Word of God. Alright. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7. Now we look at an example of another character. This character was Moses. Remember, meditation. You have to think deeply. You have to focus on what you are contemplate on those things. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. Brother Henry.
Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Uh-huh. Well, it's asking too much. God gave this commandment to Moses. Moses had been with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights out there. Huh? And he's teaching the children of Israel. And he said, look, Israel, hear, all Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Yes, I love you, Lord. You know, I love you. It's always in my mind, I love you. But that's not what it is. It's with your whole feeling, your mind, your soul, your mind, your whole spirit being, your whole being. And then he says, thou shalt, verse 7, thou shalt teach your children, alright, teach them diligently. Let me read again. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sit in thy house. You talk about the word of God when you sit at the table and have meal, talk to your children about it. I talked to Adam when I was with him the last time. You know, about death, about life. He was wondering what about all these people dying and grow old. I said, I'm going to go, you know. He said, but where do you have to go? I said, you know what, how am I now? I asked him. 70 years old, he said. I said, okay, I'm 70 years now. Perhaps I live up to 88 years old. I've got 18 years to go. Only 18 years? Yeah, 18 years to go. Then where are you going, Grandpa? He said, well, Grandpa, just die. Where you go? He said, I die and I wait for you. I've been in heaven, I wait for you. Children's concept, you know. He said, is that? Yeah. I said, you grow up, then you grow old, so the same. We all have to go, you know. People, new one comes, new children born, old one have to go. Like the old bus, he was talking about the old buses. I said, see, old buses, they're going to remove the old bus and put the new one. So I'm going, you a new one, I'm the old one. See, you now talk about life and death. I say, that's why you see, we go to church, we go to talk about Jesus, we think about God. And that's what really, you've got to teach your children, talk about it. And when you walk by the way, yeah, this God, that's not why. It's good to discuss about God when you're out there and talk a little bit about God and here and that. And without lies, now you meditate. And now when you wake up, now when you go to bed, do you pray before you go to bed? Just meditate. Even after you pray, go lie down, you just meditate. And get on the morning. Oh, another day. You know, you get up, I get up in the morning. This morning I got up and says, oh, Lord, I'm this morning again. All right, that's good. And I pray that, you know, you just touch me and I thank you for everything. And when the window, look up, I see how the vision is. And I just thank him and say, Lord, no matter what, your will be done. I praise you. Just worship the Lord. Because if God is real, you know what? Never for a moment in my mind that God is not real. Very conscious of God. And the more you meditate upon the word of God, you will become very conscious of God. And I'm glad that Adam is well taught, brought up. I was with him in Chinatown and eating, sitting at a hawker center, eat. After we finished eating, we left the table to go. Then he called me back. Grandpa, wait. I says, what? There is a coin under the table. So we walked back. I said, what? And he showed me the next table. There was a 10-cent coin on the table. And nobody was there. So I picked it up. He says, no, Grandpa, it belongs to somebody. You've got to give it back. Well, good. And I said, well, nobody's here now. It's gone. I don't know who that is. You know, so I have to tell him that if you see somebody drop money, you've got to tell him, that you drop money, sir, or something like that, so the person have it. You know? So at least he's conscious of what that don't belong to us. You know? I said, but nobody is there now. You cannot go and find the person. You just dancing anyway. You see? So you teach your children, and I think they'll grow up, you will not depart from the word of God. Really. Alright. Next us. A few more verses and we'll close. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8.
This book of the law shall not depart thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Right, this word of the law shall not depart out of the mouth. So now we come to the last part, the benefit. What benefit do we get? Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, I think that's true. If you're going to be a politician, you could do what's right. If you are in a business, be honest and sincere. Don't sit in the seat of scornful and all those who are corrupt. Counsel the ungodly, trying to do something that is not right. And that's what happened when I was working in a women's hospital. And I came in the night from a night duty, took over the duty, you know, in the office. And a women's hospital, a dormitory is big. Just a big hall with beds on the side of both, just like any hospital. And then there's the office that's just exit of the gate. So after I took the what we call the my duty for the night over from the after the shift, while we were doing that already, there was a patient was running up and down the hall. Running up and down the hall. You know. And he's hallucinated. So once he finished, I was about to stand up and go out. I heard the sound. Bam! I said, oh my goodness. We went out. The patient was on the floor. He hit his head against the wall. He tripped and he hit his head against the wall. And his whole face was cracked and the blue black. But he was still conscious. And I asked him, I said, you tripped? He said, yeah, I tripped. I was running away. I tripped. My senior, I was junior, my senior said, hey, Mira's gone. Don't say that, man. Say he committed suicide. I said, go back. I said, that is not true. You can look at the way the thing happened. You know, he tripped and you turned to it. And him somehow he tripped. He said, no, let's ask a man. You commit suicide, right? You commit suicide. You know, he wanted to do a simple, the male nurse just wanted to have this case closed and pass a doctor so there would be no investigation. That's why a lot of hospital, a lot of procedure that were done. They're actually wrong. And there were a lot of cover up. Because I was in junior, I couldn't do a thing. He was almost riding and give it to the doctor. Perhaps in the other cases. You see, the man, how many just protect themselves? Same thing in the police department, not here in Singapore, I hope. But in America, there are many cases of that. They simply find a scapegoat and close the case. That's why we have Brother Dolans, John Dolans. In prison. They wouldn't let him go. He was in the service because the governor was against him. They made him a scapegoat, put him down. And I just want a people like that, and people like Monsanto who produce all those today's paper, did you see? The weed killer called Roundup. A man suffered from cancer after all these years. And the judge said that he had to pay almost $400 million to the victim. $400 million. They said, no, this is safe and all that thing. They're sold in Singapore, and if you are using that kind of weed killer, you better be careful. Huh? People will pass off anything that is not good to the consumer. And you just wonder, may God have mercy upon these people. To stand the day of judgment. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of God. And in his law do he meditate day and night. Right. We do that. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Obviously, when you meditate upon the word of God, what do you think you are feeding on? You are feeding on the water of life. Where is the river of living water? Who is our river of living water? Christ, the stream of living water, the fountain of life. And we are trees planted by them. That's why we become also a tree of life. So we really turn out. That bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. That's true. So, you know, it's all about meditation, about the word of God. It's good habit, bad habit that we want to do. You know, you're from habits. You know what happened? You know, once I had this eye cataract removed, I don't need glasses. And many times, you know, I want to put on my t-shirt, you know, you want to put on the t-shirt, you... the glasses are not there. Of course, it's habitual, you know what I mean? You thought the glasses there. And I went out, even I thought the glasses there. Yeah, and after I did that, I just laughed at myself, because it's human habit. It's so, you just do it without thinking. And so the thing about the meditation of God's word is the same. Even though often you will do it without thinking, it will become very natural. Like King David out there, over the sheep and wherever he goes, just think about the word of the Lord. Huh? So ask yourself the question, how are you going to please the Lord? Meditate upon his word, day and night. Huh? Contemplate on it. It's not all about your problem. When you have a problem, you meditate upon the word of the Lord. God, what is your will in this thing? And then you think about his word, his promises, everything that he said. Right? Because he's mindful of us. That's what King David said, right? He's mindful of us. What are we? Who are we? In the first place, of all the billions of people in the world, how is it that God picked you to see the gospel of Jesus Christ? That you can have eternal life? To see the revelation and the beauty of his word? Know who you are? And to know what's coming? To know what's beyond this life in the eternal age? You have seen all these things. Right? So, who are you? And who am I? That God gave us this people. That he's so mindful about that he chose us for that. So we should meditate on this. Now that he has chosen us, and we just want to love him, please him, think of all these things, do the thing, keep his commandment. Don't be like King Solomon, who don't think about the consequences. Everything that we do, there is a consequence, good or bad. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bless thy word, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for the truth that you have given us. Let it go into our heart, Father. And bless all spiritual men growing up like the tree of life, planted by the rivers of living water. That we bear forth fruits and live that will not wither. We thank you, Father, for your love. Bless also now, Father, and bless those who listen to this message. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.